guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Gonna hurt. Do not.
Like, I don't know
anybody carpet.
To try to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus. Mary, Joseph, and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey, guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, what am I going to say, though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's going to be a time,
isn't it? I'm a sensitive boy.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
I've been hit!
I got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. Welcome back to the Music List Podcast, and happy Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, I would like for this episode to be a little closer to Halloween, but it is what it is. We're on a every 2 week schedule, and so we're about a week and a half out. But as you – oh, by the way, I'm Ben. With me are my sisters, Beth and Heather, and we're siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the stick. That's what we do. We had a guest last episode to kind of start off the Halloween season with a little bit of Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath discussion and ranking Ozzy's best stuff. And so now this is the Halloween episode. And we are going to do best TV horror spooky theme song. Horror.
There you
horror.
Go. Yeah.
Two syllables.
Guys, just know that I mean horror if
scary.
If I don't so
horror. Yeah.
So the because we had done movie themes already. Mm-hmm. Maybe that last year we
last
did
year,
movie
I think,
themes. Yeah. And so this one was going to be just TV themes, and they had to be either spooky or horror or maybe sci-fi-y kind of stuff if it kind of went down the scary pop way a little bit. And I was really scared when we decided to do this. Not scared, not, ooh, I'm scared, but scared that there would not be enough content. But thanks to Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these different outlets, there are a ton of shows that fit the bill. I mean, a ton of shows. Stuff I had never heard of. So I had to start listening to some of them, and I kind of reverted back to some of the classics.
Listen to all that. Didn't like it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know. But there is, I mean, an overabundance of, like, scary shows out there. One that I did not choose. I hope y'all didn't choose it because it's going to be. You remember that werewolf show? I think it was called Werewolf. Mm. Have Jack Palance in it?
Yeah.
He was, you know?
Yeah.
You know? That theme song sucks. No. I was like, oh, I hope this one's really good because I remember this show. No.
Is that the one where he had like the pentagram on his hand?
Yes. And when the moon came out,
and stuff.
It's like you couldn't really see it until.
Yeah.
And then it would start to bleed, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's like that's how he knew he was going to turn into a werewolf. And there was like a bad werewolf, which I think was Jack Palance. He was an old and gray werewolf because he was an old man. And the main character was like he was a good guy. He didn't want to be a werewolf, but he knew that when he turned into a werewolf, he'd eat people.
Yeah, he had to lock himself up.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good show. I think it only made one season or something maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But anyway, so that's the category, TV, horror. if you before we get started, voting is still going on for the RCAST Awards. We are up for who's got the list?
Hold on.
We're up for a lot of different things for the RCAST Award. These are the best podcasts in the state of Arkansas and the surrounding states. We're trying to defend our reigning title of best music podcast in the, we'll call it the Mid-South.
ARKAST.
Yeah.
We'll put our link to vote on our socials. Ooh, I've always wanted to say this. Link in bio. You should put, you should put it in our Instagram bio. And I guess, I don't know, maybe you can do that on X. I don't know. I haven't been
and
on.
But with all your email addresses.
Yeah, all your emails. Them. Get your granny's email, your kid's school right. email, yeah. everybody's.
That's exactly
See
right.
See if that AOL.com.
Yep. You can still get work. Into that one.
Yep.
We're in.
Start making a few that you're never going to use again.
That's true. Yes, yep. yes. Go make some email addresses.
And,
you know, John Doe 1, John Doe 2.
And when you vote, it says, thank you, your response has been recorded. And then you can go try again, and it will say, it will let you go through and vote. Yeah.
But
again.
We don't know if they take
we don't
out duplicates.
Know if
the,
yeah, we don't know if they. If
but
they
what if they do?
That's right.
I know. So vote on all your email
vote
addresses.
Early and often.
Multiple right. times.
Yeah.
True story.
We are in 7 categories. I think that's pretty darn good. Best music podcast, best arts podcast, best comedy podcast, best male hosted podcast, best podcast production company. You're looking for Studio 114 Productions.
It's at the bottom of the of
bottom
the,
of the list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Podcaster of the year. That's all three of us. Mm-hmm. Then that would be fun.
That would be really good.
And then podcast producer of the year. Look for Sean Sanders. There's For some reason on that one, there's no music list icon, so you're looking... It's alphabetical, so just go down to the S's and you'll find him.
And
and share.
Yep.
Link.
Like, I mean, we got one for the arts, but there's a culture one, and I'm like, how do we not get that?
And we didn't get
culture?
Entertainment. I feel like we're entertaining.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We just,
or female-hosted podcast.
Yeah, we got snubbed in that one.
We just got to get better. It's always, not y'all. I'm talking about we. I'm talking about for the culture to get
you
the culture.
You got a frog in your pocket
to get the culture. So yeah. So please vote for us. We would appreciate it, and we will be always grateful if we win anything. And even if we don't win anything, we'll be grateful for the people that voted for us.
Yeah. Yep. But if you didn't,
then we're not grateful for you. If you're joining us for the first time and you don't know how the music list works, the way that we're going to do is we're all going to get 3 votes. It'll be 3 rounds, and I need to pull up the voting order. So Beth is going to get the first pick in this particular episode, and then I will draft second, Heather will draft third. But in the second round, Heather will draft first. Then me, then Beth. Beth will get the first pick in the third round, and Heather will get the last pick in the third round. That'll give us a total of 9 picks. At that point, we're going to cut 4. That's the 9-5 round. And then with those 5 songs that remain, these 5 best TV horror themes that remain, we will try to rank them 1 through 5 and do so in less than 2 hours. That's the goal.
I mean, I hope.
Kind of target that hour and a half, but sometimes we get to fighting and we don't make it. And I would refer
I'm
you
still,
to
I'm still
I would refer you to 2 episodes
4
ago.
4 weeks ago, and I'm still mad. Seems like it was 10 minutes ago, but it was 4 weeks ago.
All right. So again, the category, best TV horror theme songs. And Beth, you get the first pick.
I just want to set the stage, okay? Mm. I was playing this song or this theme, and Hallie, Heather's daughter, walked in to the house, and she started just dancing, going to town. And she said, this is a quote, "I don't know what the category is, but that wins." This is the Goosebumps theme.
Thank you. have got to add video. We've got to add video.
There was full choreography to that. I was going to town. So for my generation, this is iconic. It's creepy. It's catchy. It's nostalgic. This was our age group's. Well, I mean, the X-Files was like going on at the same time, but that was for the adults. And then like for teens, Goosebumps was rolling. And I mean, I was like young when this was out, but that spanned a time where we caught it. So there's a dread-like theme, but it's still playful. So it's kid appropriate. You got minor scales, dissonant, staccato notes that create suspense. It's spooky, but not scary. Accessible to kids, but fun for adults. It's for all. So you got the added sound effects that are fun, little dog barking, the wind going through, pop organ, those kind of eerie choir pads, the creaks, all with a driving beat. And it feels very 90s. To me, maybe because I know that's when it came out. But like, it hits the sweet spot between eerie and exciting. I think we talked about a gateway, an episode, and I think it may be in the last episode. Mm-hmm. This was like a lot of people my age, that's their gateway. We talked about gateway drugs and peer counselors. It was our gateway drug to horror.
Yeah.
So it resurfaces on social media all the time. Because it's a freaking bop, okay? You can dance to it. You can make a little TikTok to it. It resonates with multi-generations, as we saw with Hallie.
That's true. She used to have the DVD.
Oh, man. Those books were so good. The show was great.
Of course, I would buy my kid Goosebumps.
Right. Well, yeah.
DVDs.
It's ranked among the best kids' TV intros ever. Not just horror. Perfectly sets the mood for the show. It's often called the definitive 1990s Halloween theme. I don't know who said it, but it's been said.
Old.
It's more fun than the X-Files, more atmospheric than something like the Addams Family, more memorable than like Are You Afraid of the Dark was also in the 90s, and that was a teen spooky show. But the theme for this one, I want to say the theme probably outshines the show in a lot of ways because
depends on the episode.
Yeah. Some of the episodes were like forgettable, but this theme, so good. Chef's kiss.
Then you get that like Vincent Price voice.
That's R.L. Stine himself.
That is R.L. Stine himself. Huh. Did not know that.
Yeah, he used to like intro the show, kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock kind of thing.
Yeah, he had to really work at that voice because I've seen like writing workshops by R.L. Stine.
Oh yeah,
and he sounds like a nerd when he just
I know
talks.
Yeah. He was at
so
the
he really like, had to try
Bentonville or Rogers Library a year or so ago.
Oh,
I missed
man.
It. I know, I was so disappointed. But yep.
All right, solid start. I'm gonna go back in time a little bit to one of the truly iconic theme songs of all time, not just for horror, but iconic for all times, The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. I might should have picked one with the talking.
Oh.
Where he talks about... The Twilight Zone. It is kind of spooky, though.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So, universally recognizable, I think folks from all generations recognize this to a degree. Now, the younger generation may have to go ride the Tower of Terror in order to see this. But even when we were growing up in Twilight Zone, the black and white, you know, Twilight Zones, mm-hmm. you know, we knew this tune. It was instantly something that we kind of understood what was coming. It uses that atonal melodies and a lot of dissonance in order to create that disturbing feeling, kind of making you feel like you're trapped in a sense. It's pretty short. It's only like 57 seconds or something mm-hmm. like that. But man, it seems like you're trapped there for a while, particularly when you don't have the talking. But it is considered to be highly effective. It creates, they say they've done whatever science to people that have listened to it. Creates a sense of cosmic dread, whatever that means, alien otherness, suspense. And I guess they actually use the one that has no talking on it. It's just the instrumentation. And so it does it without, there's not a lot of complex orchestration. So it's pretty simple. But that it's also has been very influential. Shows, I don't know if you call them composers for this kind of thing or not, but the people that wrote theme songs for like The American Horror Story, X-Files, Stranger Things have pointed to the Twilight Zone as a major influence on at least trying to create the mood that they're trying to create for their shows. So by many, it's considered the gold standard for horror TV music because it doesn't just scare. It creates a sense of unsettlement, and it primes you to know that something is off. And if you've watched The Twilight Zone, they're not all horror shows. Right. I mean, some of them are
Some of them are scary, though.
Some of them are. But, you know, like some of the ones that I remember the most are not scary, like The Eye of the Beholder one.
Oh, so good.
Right? That one's not scary. It's just got that twist at the end. Yeah. And then you've got
To Serve Man.
Now, that one ends kind of scary because, you know, it's like, oh, well, poor guy's going to get ate. And then I also remember the one where the guy just wants to be able to read and everybody makes fun of him because of his glasses, you know. So, you know, there's some.
It's called like time, something about plenty of time or. And then the one where the woman is in the house and the little space people keep chasing her around.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there are some legitimately, you know, scary ones. And Twilight Zone was – a lot of these shows now today, almost all of the scary shows today – have this big, long story arc in them. I guess Black Mirror would be pretty close to Twilight Zone, but that are just episodic, you know. Episodic. But, you know, most of them now carry this big story arc over multiple seasons. And so the Twilight Zone did a pretty good job of, I guess, kind of creating that. You know, we watched, like, Tales from the Crypt and Tales from the Dark Side and things of that nature, and those were all episodic as well.
Yeah, they were.
So that's my first pick, the Twilight Zone.
It's good use of they call them stingers. You know those punches of used to great effect in like the Psycho.
Well, there actually is. I mean, it almost sounds like Psycho that. Can't do it because I'm not an instrument, but you know it is.
And
the voice
out,
is a human instrument, they say.
What is that voice that came with it?
I don't know.
You have to be a nerd to say that?
Oh, my goodness.
It's 8:50. That's not the one.
I'm getting old, though.
I feel like we've been here for a month.
And a half.
A month's worth of shows today or something.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my first pick, actually, now... You got to understand, we all have liked scary things from the get-go, mostly because we were low-key terrorized in our youth.
Yeah, people would probably call DHS now.
Maybe. Ben, you probably like scary things the least, right? Between the three of us?
Yeah, I would say that's not my go-to.
Yeah.
Y'all like, y'all love scary movies. I like stuff that blows up.
Yeah. Well, this particular show was one that our dad watched, but he would usually watch it when we weren't around because some episodes were quite scary. And so it didn't help, though, because the TV was up really long. Really loud. And so I would just lie in bed and hear this intro and just be sitting there going, watching around. And so in theory, it was a good idea to wait till we went to bed. In practice,
yeah,
not helpful. But it is from the 1983 anthology series, Tales from the Dark Side.
Sunlit world of what he believes to be reality. But there is, unseen by most, an underworld, a place that is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side.
So you're 8 and lying in bed like crap.
Time out. We may need mom for clarification on this because I remember this. And so I wouldn't have remembered it if I was 3. But I know. But I mean, I was sitting there saying that.
It ran for a long time and he watched.
So it wasn't just 1983.
No, it started in 1983.
Okay, so it started in 83 because we were watching this. I remember watching this as a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, because I had it on my list, and the only reason I had it on my list is because I knew to go, I remembered it to go listen to the theme song, and then when I heard the theme song, I was like, holy cow, I remember this.
Yeah.
Distinctly remember this.
I'm trying to see. 1983 to 1988.
Okay, so I was probably 7 and 8 when I remember. Yeah. Probably about right, yeah.
And so it was, you know, it was ghost stories, it was science fiction, it was... All different things. The thing about the intro itself is that there were no scary monsters on the intro. It's all scenes of fields and barns and trees, and they're all you know, these quaint landscapes. They're chilling, and then it just goes to black and white. You know, when he starts to say. A place that's just as real but not as brightly lit. And so all of those things become really spooky. And it's to great effect. Screen Rant said that this was the second scariest TV show intro of all time.
Wow.
Mm.
Hmm.
I don't know what was number one.
I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. But
who said that?
A Screen Rant.
Well,
let's continue. Look at it. I don't know, I'll but so this was kind of the precursor, I think, to, you know, Tales from the Crypt. It was more an adult. It was kind of the in between of the Twilight Zone and I guess Tales from the Crypt came after.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side. Mm. And then...
number one was Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh.
Oh, interesting. But...
number three was Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay. So, it was good because it wasn't... You could miss an episode and come back then if you, you know, it wasn't like you had to... Tape it.
Ooh.
But anyway, it was very scary to me. So that's it. What are you laughing at?
Sorry. There's some distraction in the background. We're quite boring to some in the room.
Not enthralled.
No.
Okay, so I'm next, right?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, okay. The pick.
Yes.
So my next pick is a show that spawned the paranormal reality genre. And in 2000, it's from MTV's Fear. So this is by Godsmack. This is actually where I was introduced to Godsmack. It ran for a season and a half, and they would send people to haunted locations, or allegedly haunted locations, and they would have to do dares. Like, they would have to go to a prison, and they would have to go down, you know, to the, you know, solitary confinement and sit there for an hour and record. And it was probably scripted. Probably. But those folks got those folks got scared for real. So yeah. It was, you know, the precursor to Ghost Adventures and Paranormal State and all of those things. It was canceled after a season and a half.
I didn't even think about going in and listening to the Ghost Adventures and Taps and all that stuff theme songs.
There are things in this world that we can never understand. Understand.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Ghost Adventure. Broast Adventure. But it was canceled because it was too expensive to produce. You know, now everybody's got, you know, cell phones and...
Yeah.
But then they had to put them up in these harnesses and these, like, GoPros that... You know,
oh, yeah, yeah, I guess so.
It was a big, you know, and I'm sure the editing was a nightmare. And that Voodoo was actually number 5 on the Billboard mainstream rock chart. It actually charted that bass line that's kind of tribal and ominous. And it just feels like, you know, you're going to go in here and you're going to go by yourself. Nothing good is going to come of this. So, I was fascinated by the show and the song, and I enjoyed it. That's my pick.
All right.
It's you.
It's me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So I said I went with all, what's it called? Classics. That's not true. That's not true at all.
Okay.
Forget what I just...
Like, most of my list was, but what I actually draft is not necessarily that way. This one is a little bit more recent and is on one scary show that I did watch several seasons of until... I don't know why I stopped watching. It was pretty good. I don't know why we stopped. But it's the Walking Dead thing.
Oh. I stuck it out. Every season.
So it's just scary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, but that I mean,
it's very psycho-esque. It makes you.
This is the way I feel. I don't really have a lot of great notes on this. It makes me feel like my heart is beating faster than it is. You know, I think maybe because the rhythm is moving like maybe slightly faster than, well, not even slight. I mean, there's
it's got that underlying movement.
But it just, it makes you feel anxious, even though I'm not anxious, which then makes me anxious. So then the song matches my
anxiousness. And then by the time it's over, I'm anxious.
You know, but it's the thing about, thing about The Walking Dead is like the overwhelming majority of the show is not fast paced.
No,
it's really a slowly paced show until it's not.
Yeah,
and then it gets it. The stuff hits the fan real fast when it hits, and then it's a whole bunch of stuff.
It's intense.
Yeah, you know, like it. And especially when they were like living out in the woods at the beginning, like in the first season or two, because there's no walls, no fences. Now, once they got like into the prison and they had the prison and they had kind of fortified the wall.
Or the town, was it Alexandria or whatever?
Yeah, you know, then it.
But even at the farm, they were vulnerable at the farm.
There's no big fence at the farm, you know? And so it was almost like you're always at risk until they got to where they had a town wall. And the town wall was suspect, too, because people were stupid, you know, and would do stuff to leave holes in it and stuff, which, I mean, I guess that's – you don't have a show if the zombies can't get into the deal. But I felt like they were the safest at the prison.
Yeah, I think when we quit watching, they were still at the prison.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot. There's a lot we have not seen.
Stuff went down.
So who's the guy with the baseball bat?
Negan.
Yeah, like we stopped right at that point.
Oh well, lots of stuff after that too.
Is it worth finishing?
I would say so.
I don't know. I didn't finish it.
Oh,
okay. There are points where it gets a little slow and you just gotta grind. But it was interesting.
I mean,
I'm glad I finished it.
I've seen the meme. Well, pardon my French.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that a whole bunch of times. Yeah. But anyway, back to the theme song. Pretty terrifying, actually. Like, I feel like it's scarier than The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, like if you're sitting on your couch or something, if you were sitting in your house or in your car and all of a sudden that music started playing as like the soundtrack to your life, you'd be nervous.
Not cool. Not cool. Okay, that's my pick.
Okay. My second pick has been mentioned a couple of times already. Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of it. Because unless you get to the end where he pops up, but I don't think it does that on that recording. Because the Crypt Keeper was scary. And then at the end, even when I was watching it today, I'd forgotten. And so then he popped up and it was like, So this was, and as a kid, because I think this show started in 1990 maybe or something like that, but like it ran for a minute. And so when I was little, I would see this and I did not care for it. but now it's like, oh, it's a puppet. This was composed by the Danny Elfman, master of playful macabre. so he also wrote like the Simpsons theme and the Desperate Housewives theme. And he's got a lot of Halloween Lane type stuff, Corpse Bride. Oingo Boingo, they have a bunch of stuff that could be on your Halloween party playlist. It's like,
did you mention Nightmare Before Christmas?
I did not, obviously. Nightmare Before Christmas. I picked him as like one of my greatest, when we did greatest movie composers, I picked him. But this is like whimsical and cartoonish, but also gothic and sinister at the same time, but also like still straight up creepy. And you can, I don't know if it's just because I know the visual of it winding through the house and down the thing, but it does have that winding sense of, you know, it kind of keeps you off balance.
Mm-hmm. It's got that same underlying dun 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 dun.
And it's got kind of those staccato notes, kind of like the Goosebumps one, but the strings, the breath are all eerie. But again, a balance of scary and fun, which is kind of what the show was. You know, the Crypt Keeper was, irreverent, kind of goofy, and, you know, it is kind of like a twisted carnival ride.
Yeah. We need him back in 2025.
The Crypt Keeper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw something that said the puppet got stolen.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, they could make another one, but it probably wouldn't.
He would troll on anybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what would be good is, if we could have a insult contest, a cap off or a diss off, between him and that dog with the cigar.
Oh, yes, yes.
Man, we got to make that happen.
I forgot about that dog. Yeah. But it's campy. It sets the dark comedy sets the tone.
They made a movie out of that too. What? They made movies out of
Tales from the Crypt. Yeah,
yeah. They made Tales from the Dark Side movie. They made a Goosebumps movie.
Yeah, there's another and a newer Goosebumps show that we watched like the first episode or season of. It's pretty good. It's got that Justin, what's his name, in it that dies and everything.
Oh, the guy in Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's in it. But yeah, Tales from the Crypt. Oh, and I get to go again. Well, I'm going to go again to the... Oh, everything I did is the 90s. Look at me today. I feel so just... I want to put like my bright colors on.
Those and butterfly clips.
Yes. And I want to sit on my like blow up furniture. So, Buffy. It's my third pick.
Best show. Great show. Ever made. Pop-up video?
It didn't sound like that. Man, that was a pop-up video. That's a good show. So this show blended horror with youth culture. Like they had what was the club?
The Scoobies?
No, the one that was like, we're going down to the, it was in like the very first where they were, what it was.
When they go to the library?
No, the club.
Oh, the Bronze.
The Bronze, yes.
The Bronze. So
you'd have them go to the Bronze and there was some band playing and it was like what you'd imagine a club to be like, but it was all teens.
Yeah.
So if you ever watched like One Tree Hill, there was a place kind of like
except
that.
Except they were getting eaten by vampires.
They were getting eaten. Yeah, it was all people go in the alleys like they're in the Hellmouth. Like what are you doing?
That song. I gotta go watch it again.
I know. There were demons and vampires and all kinds of monsters. Yeah. But it all had that like rebellious Buffy's the one sent to
the chosen one,
but she was a cheerleader and she was just like, I didn't really ask for this, but all right, I'm going to go kill all this stuff in the middle of the night. But she had to keep it a secret. Oh, such a good show. But you've got like the church organ sound, horror moodiness, but also punk rock, like old school gothic horror. Then this explodes into this punk rock
Nerf
song. And the very opening gives you that monster feel, right? You get the howling wolf and stuff, but it's one of the best TV themes ever. Like, it's not good. Just spooky shows. It feels more modern than like the other two. The other two I chose are somewhat similar to each other, I guess. When you hear it, you're like, oh, that's a Halloween show. Mm-hmm. This one kind of rides the line. So it's more accessible like outside of Halloween, outside of the context of the show, you'd be like, oh, that's fun to listen to. Not, oh, that's a campy Halloween show. But maybe that makes it not as appropriate for the theme. I don't know. But I just really like it. That show had one of the scariest things that it sticks
gentleman?
With me. Yes.
That's the scariest episode of TV I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, where they took people's voices.
It's called Hush. The episode is called Hush. And there are these...
They're like alien type looking things, but they're not.
They're called the gentlemen, and they are like
very thin, gaunt men in, you can, they have big smiles.
Yes.
And they wear suits and they float. Yes, they don't walk. Float. They just float. And they float and they have big long fingers and they kind of.
It's like Slenderman.
Slenderman.
But not like big tentacle-like. They're still like human proportioned, yeah. I guess, but like a little bit exaggerated.
And they just sit there and kind of.
Oh gosh, they're so scary. They're so scary.
And they make it where you can't speak. They take your voice.
Yeah, I watched the movie, but I don't know that I ever watched any
of it. Oh, the movie? No, don't do the movie.
Don't do the movie.
I've already done the movie.
Oh, I'll do that. But the show's great.
The show is honestly my favorite show in the history of television.
When was the movie?
Early 90s, late 80s.
I mean, that may be the deal for me. I mean, everybody my age liked the movie, but it was probably maybe like a teen.
It has a great death scene in
the movie.
Pee Wee Herman's death scene is fantastic. Scene. But
it's a totally different. I'd hate to use this word. It's vibe. It's a totally different vibe than the show.
You would.
Okay, so it was 92. So I was 12.
Yeah, when but the movie like, came the out. Show started in like 96. And you would probably feel very in your high school element. Yeah. And I think you'd really.
The movie really was a big hit, though, at the time. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben.
Oh, it's me. This one's not old either. This one's pretty new. In fact, this show is still running. We're going to get its last season. October. Is it supposed to come up pretty soon? October, November?
If it's what I think
it is. If it's what I think it is.
Stranger November. Things.
Yeah.
Boy, that puts me right back in the 80s. Yep. That's crazy.
So this is actually composed, the score, by Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein of the group Survive. There you go. And one of the things that I've noticed about this particular song is obviously it is meant to create the 1980s feel. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the whole show takes place in the 80s. They do a really good job. I mean, like this could have been a John Carpenter score easily, you know. But like what they did really, really well is, you know, if you pay attention to it, it's slowly getting louder and louder and louder, which gives the impression that whatever it is gaining on you. It's getting closer and closer and closer. And I feel, I mean, it's like my head doesn't hurt, but it feels like my head starts to pound with tension when I hear it. I don't know if anybody else has that particular feeling, but that's one of the, it immediately came to mind when we did this, when we decided to do this topic, was this song. And again, using those atonalities, dissonance, and then again, as it gets closer and closer, they add like a fuzz to the tones to make it feel almost like it's electric. And so you don't know, am I going to die from electrocution or whatever? I don't know. But it feels like this electric grid is like just closing in on you. And it's pretty spooky. And the show's good. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. Now, they're.
Those kids have to be. Like,
that's a problem, man.
Millie Bobby Brown looks completely different. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they make her look like her character again.
Is this a SAG problem? I mean, like Screen Actors Guild? I mean, what's going on?
It's taken multiple years. It just doesn't take so long to do all the effects and everything.
When I don't know if they've written, because they had not, I don't think when the last one ended, I don't think they had written.
You only do like 8 episodes a season. I mean, it's not like.
Yeah.
Come on. You can do 8 episodes a year. On.
I think at the end of the last season, they then began writing the next one. So then it's like, you got to come up with the story, get them all together.
Stupid.
I agree. I don't want to wait that long now because then I got to go back. It's been too much time.
This is
I got to go watch
though,
a
right?
that. And I mean, and now, I mean, you've got some of these goofballs are completely through 20 puberty
plus,
now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know.
That kid can't ride a bike anymore.
I mean, Millie Bobby Brown, she's got like lip fillers and all kinds of the things now, so they're going to need to.
Yeah, she does not look like a small
child. She doesn't look like a kid. Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, none of them do.
No.
Mean, you know, my gosh, one kid made 2 It movies in between.
Yeah.
Literally made 2 It movies between seasons. That's absurd.
Yeah.
Get with it, Netflix. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I said what I said.
Okay.
Oh.
He said what he
that's
said.
That's it. So anyway, that's my pick. It was Stranger Things.
So I'm last, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm kicking it back pretty far. Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Oh.
So it just kind of has that. This piece is actually called Funeral March of a Marionette, and it was written in 1872.
Oh,
so it has that bouncy, but the tonality of it is minor, and it sounds a little macabre, perhaps. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I feel like you, as a horror fan. You either really enjoy Hitchcock or you don't get it. Like you don't like it just doesn't resonate with you as scary. I think I mean everybody can understand what's going on, but some things just kind of get into your subconscious and things aren't scary to some folks. And so Alfred Hitchcock movies are
not
everybody's cup of tea. I personally love them. And so Hitchcock heard it in a 1927 film and remembered the effect that it had on him. And so when he produced his anthology series, similar to The Twilight Zone, he used it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that if you have kind of the same sort of sensibilities of what is unsettling.
Yeah.
Because it is unsettling to me. It does not sound bouncy and happy and.
No.
But it does not. It doesn't necessarily sound. You know.
It's not outwardly scary. It's that thing of like.
The uncanny valley kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like those. Kind of like how The Wizard of Oz. The. Munchkin songs or whatever. There, it's like bright and happy, but there's
an underlying darkness underneath it. And so, I just recently there are some episodes of this show that still I rewatched a few episodes a few months ago, and they hold up.
Yeah,
and of course the movies.
Yeah,
I watched Rear Window again.
It's a great movie.
Recently, and of course, Vertigo, and
Mom's favorite, The Birds.
Ooh,
Birds.
I tried watching that, and I couldn't finish it.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot, yep. And you know, of course, Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Psycho is so in your face. You know, in a lot of ways, it's
different than a lot of the stuff he.
Yeah, I mean directed. It's very violent. It's very dark, but things like Rear Window, it sticks with you.
Yeah, because that could be you.
Yeah, you know it.
You don't think like, oh, I'm going to show up at a
stranger
hotel
on train.
And yeah, he takes things that are normal and makes you cautious of them.
Yeah.
When I was in, when I was at A-State, we had a Hitchcock class.
Oh, I would have loved
it. It was so fun. Yeah. So we watched some of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. We went over like Rear Window, Vertigo. I don't think we watched Psycho, but I mean, that was one that was like, everybody should kind of know that, but
yeah,
it was good. It was really good class. So.
Is that all the picks?
That's it.
That's it.
All right. What do we got?
Ben drafted The Twilight Zone, The Walking Dead, and Stranger Things. Heather drafted Tales from the Dark Side, Fear, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And I drafted Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt, and Buffy.
Okay, so TV horror themes that I did that were not drafted that were on my list included Freddy's Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You may a TV show?
Yeah. It was.
I didn't know that.
It was,
Robert Englund was everywhere
late
for a while.
80s, really? Late 80s? Late 80s?
Yeah.
Probably. Unsolved Mysteries was actually on my list. For Mom, the Dark Shadows original TV theme.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did have the X-Files on there.
Mm-hmm. I had True Blood, mm-hmm. which the song in and of itself is not scary or spooky, but it's dark
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's got that New Orleans type feel to it and just kind of grimy, you know. Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, that's a creepy little
little song. Little ditty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, this song is not scary and the show is also not scary, but What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, it's horror theme.
It is. It's about vampires. And if you like Flight of the Conchords,
oh my gosh,
it is done by Jemaine Clements. So it is freaking hilarious. So if you like that kind of deadpan mm-hmm. humor, and it's kind of like a mockumentary.
And I don't know. I don't know how to say his name. Taika Waititi. He's in it too, right? Or is that the movie? The guy who directed Thor.
Oh, I don't know Ragnarok what their name. I don't know what their names are. But
okay, I feel like he's in it, but I could be making that.
It is so freaking hilarious, and it's if you like Flight of the Conchords, it's that with vampires.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I did not draft The Munsters, which I love. I used to watch that religiously on Nick at Night. And then when I was supposed to be asleep, The Addams Family, which
I'm surprised that.
Yeah, I don't really like that one, but I was like, it's, I feel iconic, like I have to put it on the list. And then I also had True Blood down on my list.
All right. So we've got 9 and we've got to cut it from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Okay, so I figure that some of this is this. Getting moved over could be tricky because I feel like our lists are all going to be very different because this is not one, you know, like when we we did the British bands where there were some that were very clearly going to get moved over.
That was pretty easy.
You know, and I guess Ozzy kind of turned out to be that way. To an extent, I mean, there were some conversation had to be had about what we were moved over, but we'll just start at the top. Like Goosebumps, I did not have on my list. For example, this is going to be the problem. Like, I feel like we're going to be a lot of picks that maybe only one of us had on their list.
Yeah, probably.
Did you have Goosebumps?
I didn't, but I would probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Okay, I didn't have it.
Right.
We'll come back to that.
Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where did y'all have it on the list?
4, 6.
Okay. So that's a candidate, an early candidate. Next pick was Tales from the Dark Side. I did have it number 7. I would imagine you probably didn't because you probably never heard of the show.
Yeah.
Fear was the next pick. I did not have Fear on my list.
No, me either.
Okay. The Walking Dead was the next pick.
I had that at 7.
No.
You did not. Okay. Tales from the Crypt. Again, that was from my childhood, which explains why I had it. I had it number 6. You 2. Drafted it,
though. I had it at 2.
Did 30. You have Tales from? So that's a candidate because we have a 2, a 3, and a 6. That's a strong candidate to be moved over. The next one was Buffy. I did not have 6. Buffy. You had 6. So there's There's two for Buffy. Stranger Things. Did anybody else have Stranger Things?
I had it at 9.
Did you? You did not.
Mm-mm.
And then Alfred Hitchcock.
5.
Did you?
I didn't have it.
Okay. And I had Alfred Hitchcock at number 5. So, are there any clear movers to move over based on?
I mean, I would obviously feel like Tales from the Crypt because two of us had it pretty darn high. And then you had
all of us had it in the top 6. Tales from the Crypt, right? You had it number
3.
Number 3. And I had it number 6.
Okay.
And you had it number what?
2.
So we got a 2. I mean, that one's probably going over. I would say we can move it over.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone, while 3 of us had it fairly high. Did you? What 4. Did you? 4. Would you have it?
6.
Okay. So that one's like in the same boat. I feel like Twilight Zone will get moved over.
Probably, yeah.
And that may be the only ones that all 3 of us had. Is that right?
Maybe.
But I'm with you. I mean, now that, you know, going back over Goosebumps, I don't have a problem moving Goosebumps over to the top 5. So that gives us 3.
Yep.
So the other ones that had 2 votes, Tales from the Dark Side had 2 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Walking Dead had 2 votes. Alfred Hitchcock had 2 votes. Stranger Things.
Yep.
So
that's 4 left to consider and 2 spots.
Hmm.
Oh, well, Heather had Buffy too, but I don't.
Oh, okay. So Buffy's in the mix then.
So 3. 4. What? So 5 left to consider, 2 spots. Dang.
That's rough.
Yeah. I would say I would take out probably Buffy because I like the ones that were written specifically for the show. I kind of put preference on those. So oh, okay. I would kind of rather see ones like that maybe you guys drafted that were written specifically for that show.
Okay. So you would also on the basis of that probably not want the Alfred Hitchcock thing in there too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we did that, we take those 2 out, then we would, let's just say, I'm not saying we are, but that would leave us with how many options left?
3.
3 for 2?
Mm-hmm. And if it were me, so that's The Walking Dead, Stranger Things, and Tales from the Dark Side. I would do Tales from the Dark Side and The Walking Dead.
I would say Tales from the Dark Side's pretty darn spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got no problem moving it over.
Okay.
I mean, and it was my number 7, so I mean, it's pretty high on my list as far as. And then what's the other options?
The Walking Dead and Stranger Things.
Those are both mine, so mm-hmm. whichever one of y'all like the best, I guess.
I would say Walking Dead is more horror.
Yeah.
So that gives us 5.
We did, yeah. Okay, our top 5, Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone, Goosebumps, Tales from the Dark Side, and The Walking Dead.
Okay. So, and then we got to rank them.
Yep.
Now, I feel like it's Twilight Zone and what was the other one that all 3 of us had?
Tales from the Crypt.
I feel like those are going to be the contenders for 1 and 2, probably, just because we both had them, like, in our... Those are the only 2 that are in our top 6.
Based on the math, yeah. Top
6. You want to put Goosebumps in the conversation?
I freaking love it. It's so good. So good that it jumped y'all's list. Think about that.
Yeah. I agree. What do you think? Of the 3, which would you put 1?
Between Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt, and...
Twilight Zone.
Probably Tales from the Crypt.
Okay. Which one would you put?
Well, I had Goosebumps higher, but obviously I will concede to Tales from the Crypt for that one. They're both pretty good to me. But the both of those are mine. Okay. So it's two of mine and then one of yours that okay. are being so, considered. Well, so
then put Tales from the Crypt one. So okay. then now the vote would be Twilight Zone or Goosebumps for two. And you're going to take Goosebumps and I'm going to take Twilight Zone. Correct. So you're the swing vote on what's number two.
Oh, my gosh. That's hard.
They're very different.
Yep.
Very different.
I'm going to go. Oh, my gosh. I like Goosebumps better, but I'm going to go as far as iconic Twilight Zone.
So I think we're in agreement then that Goosebumps will be number three, right?
I'm good with that.
Are you good with it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the 4 or 5 is what and what?
Tales from the Dark Side, The Walking Dead.
I'm fine either way because, I mean, Tales from the Dark Side is pretty darn scary for such a relatively low budget. I mean, for such a low budget show. Spooky voice. I mean, it's now as far as the score is concerned, Walking Dead is probably a lot more scarier, complicated
and it's definitely
everything, but you know, so there's that. You're weighing the spookiness of the song versus the quality of the song,
right?
You know, so you know, I'm fine either way. If y'all have a preference,
but they were also made like very 25 years apart.
Right, yeah. And one of them's yours, and one of them's mine. So right. Beth, I guess you would be Beth. You're the swing vote on that one.
Can you play Tales from the Dark Side again? Because that one's brand new to me, so I instinctively know what the Walking Dead one sounds like. Very familiar, but it sounds like a Phantasm or something like that. I like that one.
Reality.
So we have our five then. We're in order.
Yes. It is. Final ranking of the best horror Halloween. I guess I could say Halloween TV, but they're not all Halloween. Horror TV themes. Number one, Tales from the Crypt. Number two, Twilight Zone. Number three, Goosebumps. Number four, Tales from the Dark Side. And five, The Walking Dead.
All right. We want to remind you again, RCAST, ARKAST voting. Please find the links on our social media pages. That would be on X, Facebook, Instagram. Vote for us. We want to wish everybody a happy Halloween in about a week and a half. And remember to wear your reflectors when you go out trick-or-treating. That's right.
Check your candy.
Yeah. Don't accept even though that's a myth from people it's you don't know.
But Don't take unpackaged things. Don't take a candied apple from your neighbor or something in these days.
It's got a razor blade in it.
Yeah, be safe. And again, we're getting into the real holiday season, so you can anticipate. Yeah, I know. You can start gearing up for maybe some food-centered deals in Thanksgiving.
We can do that again.
Christmas. One's in December. So, again, be safe. Happy Halloween, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
She almost had it.